What's one of the biggest misconceptions when it comes to owning versus renting?
Yo, I'm going to come in with a hot take. When it's framed owning versus renting, I don't think it's a competition.
I like that.
I think that depending on the season of life you're in, depending on what your financial situation, both have great benefits, yeah. Also some drawbacks, but it's an incredibly personal decision that's really based off of what's happening with you and your family.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Wallet Wisdom, a podcast presented by LMCU. If you are new to the show or been listening for a while now, Wallet Wisdom is designed to help break down some of banking's more complex and confusing questions. I'm your host, Brett, and I can't wait to dive into today's episode. Well, again, a big thanks to Jake Williams for joining us here on the podcast. You know, Jake, tell us a little bit about what you do for LMCU and how you're helping our members.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. Really happy to be on Wallet Wisdom. I'm Jake Williams, Vice President of Regional Mortgage Production here at Lake Michigan Credit Union. So simply put, I support 20 of our loan officers as they're out in the field helping our members achieve the dream of homeownership. So helping them through their loans, if they have issues, helping them working with the management team on setting the direction for our mortgage department with the ultimate goal of, again, helping our members get into houses.
That's awesome. And then it's a big job because, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for our members and for those in the community that are looking for homes and that affordability. I can't imagine just the volume that still continues to come through.
It is. There's a lot of volume that comes through. LMCU is the number 3 credit union mortgage lender in the country.
That's incredible.
And considering we're really primary in 2 states, that's a really proud accomplishment. And it's not just that fact, but when you drive down, it's the amount of members we're able to help.
Absolutely.
I think over 9,100 people, members, we were able to help, transactions
that's
we were able
incredible.
To do last year. And so you just think of whether they're purchasing a new home, an investment property, helping with refinances to help with their financial situation, just a lot of different opportunities that we were able to be a part of and help our members, which is just really a good feeling at the end of the day.
For sure. For sure. Well, and you know, the world of mortgage has been evolving quite a bit in the last like several years. And, you know, we went through this, you know, back and forth of just these incredibly low interest rates. Mm-hmm. And then they've kind of been creeping back up.
Yep.
And there's just a lot of, you know, variables at play.
Yes. Yeah. The only thing that is constant is change. And there's nothing truer than that of the mortgage industry. There's something different.
No kidding. Keeps you on your toes. Keeps everything fresh.
It does. Keeps it exciting every day. Every member has a different challenge. It's a nice puzzle to put together. And that's one of the great things about working in mortgage.
That's awesome. Well, you know, in today's podcast, we really wanted to kind of focus in on that difference between owning versus renting.
Okay.
And, you know, we're seeing a lot more of cost of living has gone up. Mortgages themselves are a little bit more expensive because home values have increased, which of course will change the whole mortgage price. So I guess it's that time of season where those that are in that time of coming out of maybe college, thinking about where do I, you know, go next?
Yeah.
It's that debate of, do I look at buying? Do I look at renting? And so I'd love to kind of explore that with you a little bit more. If anything, what's one of the biggest misconceptions that you're kind of finding when it comes to owning versus renting?
Yo, I'm going to come in with a hot take.
All right.
Right at the beginning.
Right
the
episode, there.
Right at the beginning. When it's framed owning versus renting, I don't think it's a competition.
I like that.
I think that depending on the season of life you're in, depending on what your financial situation, both have great benefits, also some drawbacks. But what I've worked with buyers when I was a loan officer, it's an incredibly personal decision that's really based off of what's happening with you and your family. So for me, the biggest misconception is it's not a competition. It's not a debate. It's what works for you. And obviously, we're going to talk about, you know, the fantastic benefits of home ownership.
Sure, sure.
But that might not benefit you right now.
Right.
And yes, it's something that you need to prepare for in a year, 2 years, 3 years, but it's when you're ready.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's the biggest misconception is that owning is always the best, right? I think long term it is. And there's a lot of great benefits, but for some people, renting is really the best option. So
yeah.
It might be a little counterproductive for a mortgage professional to come on some taped media and saying that. But really, again, and what I love about LMCU is we're always putting our members first, and
sure.
We have that member first philosophy. So, and I know our loan officers, when they look at things, it's we're looking at what's going to benefit them. We don't want to put them in a house just to put them in a house.
Sure.
And we want to get them ready so that they can be prepared for home ownership. So if renting is the right thing to do, you know, that's a win.
Sure.
In my book is providing them saying, hey, we're not ready to do this right now. Here are some things we can do in the future to get you ready. But this will help you in this season of life, and seasons of life change.
Yeah.
We were just talking, you know, my season of life with three kids in sports right now is different than when,
kidding.
Newly married and all we had were two cats. So life changes.
No kidding.
Right. So I think that's what we do. And when you have to do that on your own, it can feel really overwhelming. And that's really what our loan originators are here for, are to help and partner with you to make sure that you're making that right decision.
I love that. It's also, I think, with talking about common misconceptions, it's probably a common misconception even with the role of a loan officer.
Sure.
Of, oh, they're who will write up all the loans. No,
right.
We're there to help also walk through the steps to even help you determine, is this the right step right now is it the right step maybe just later?
Absolutely. You know? Especially with first-time home buyers. And again, I think the average person is only going to go through this 1 to 3 times in their life.
In their life, sure.
And we do this every day. So having that loan officer who has that mindset of a teacher and is not looking to get you into the house or get you pre-approved and leave you on your way, but helping you work through, here's what the payments will look like in year one. Here's what's going to happen
sure.
in years two and three. You know, here's what you're paying in rent, but here's what a mortgage payment's going to look like. So
sure.
we may need to adjust some of these other items to make you feel comfortable. But again, picking a loan officer is obviously about being professional.
Yes.
Understanding the job and having a good mind and financially, but also being able to walk through that process with you.
Definitely.
Because there are people that are reaching out to me. I'm not originating anymore, but that I helped 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
So there, I mean, that's someone that's going to be accessible long after the transaction is gone.
Just to be that voice, to be that support when
sure.
needed. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm also looking at the market right now, and there's a lot of conversations around affordability,
absolutely.
What the rates are, you know, and so I guess what should potential buyers really be kind of looking out for or paying attention to when it comes to that?
Yeah, interest rates are a big deal, right? And it's not necessarily the number that's on your piece of paperwork, but it's how it impacts your monthly payment.
For sure.
Because that is what your world survives or what your world kind of revolves around. You know, we can talk about when we're looking at an interest rate, how much interest you're going to pay over the life of the loan.
Yeah.
But when you really get things down to their basics, it's what is that monthly payment and what is that cash flow?
Fair.
So when you're looking at interest rates, it's how does this interest rate impact my monthly payment and how does it impact what I qualify for?
Yeah.
It's, you know, what somebody qualified for in 2020 when rates were 3% on a 30-year fix.
Right.
And now that they're around 6.25%, give or take.
Sure.
You know, that's a 3.5, you know, over 3% swing.
Definitely.
And that's going to have an impact on what you can qualify for.
Yeah.
And so, but for me is when I'm talking to people, it's you're not necessarily trying to play the market. The market's kind of like the casino, right?
Sure.
Like, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. You know, I don't know if we can talk about gambling here, but you know, you don't know if the dealer's going to pull down an ace and,
right.
you know, you don't know what's going to happen. So really what the theme is and what I stress when I talk to buyers or when I'm coaching loan officers is it is an incredibly personal decision.
Yeah.
It's when it is right for you. And that doesn't matter if your rate is in the sixes, in the fours, in the tens.
Sure.
It's really based off of when you can afford that payment, but also be able to thrive in the other areas of your life. So you need to pay attention to the interest rate because of what that interest rate means kind of down the line as far as your financial stability. But that number itself isn't the most important thing. It's really affording the payment, having money still coming in, and then are you able to succeed and thrive in the other areas of your life? Because housing is an important piece.
Absolutely.
It creates stability and it can be that bedrock of everything else that happens in your life. But
yeah,
if you're on, you know, uneven footing, and that could impact just how you live the rest of your life. So for us, it's making sure, yes, understanding what that does to the payment, but making sure that that helps you in all the other areas of your life.
Yeah. So I'll be honest, for some listening, it could probably, everything you just explained could still seem like, oh my gosh, that just seems complicated. And it's
sure.
just so much more work.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if I, you know, this and that. The easier way
mm-hmm.
is just to go and rent. It's
sure.
something that you'll hear. Mm-hmm. I guess, how do we break down some of those myths around
sure.
what's easier or what maybe it's not necessarily easier to
sure.
you, but yeah.
Yeah, I think when we talk about housing, a lot of people, whether it be renting or owning, you kind of talk about what are those hidden costs?
Like, yeah.
I see what's on my lease every month, but is there anything else that I'm paying for that I may not be seeing? And the thing about renting is really the hidden costs are kind of limited.
Sure.
And that would be because you're not responsible for things that happen inside and outside the home.
Yeah.
You know, it is a, I'm giving you a rent check. You're allowing me to live in this space,
yeah.
but I'm not the owner of the home. So that can provide some security for somebody, whether they're just starting out, maybe they're an
sure.
entrepreneur starting their business. Maybe they aren't sure where they want to go in life. So they haven't really put down roots.
Right.
And
yeah,
so they
point.
Need to be able to kind of cut ties with that rent because it's a contract, but it's, again, you're providing that money to live in a space. You don't own that space. So your ties are not as strong if you were
yeah.
owning a home. So you do have the ability, again, depending on what that season of life is, what you're able to do. What I would say the limitation of renting is when we do talk about building wealth or building
sure.
that security blanket of what you can get, because even though you're renting, you're not paying a mortgage, but you're probably paying somebody else's mortgage.
Sure.
If there's a, you know, if the home you rent has a mortgage on it, you are paying the cost
yeah.
of the landlord.
Right.
And you're not seeing the benefit of those payments in the form of equity.
Right. Yeah.
So again, are you, it's serving its purpose, but it is not pushing you forward in a financial aspect. And that's okay, depending on where you're at. But if you're, you know, in that season of life where you're ready to start making those steps financially and starting to build that wealth, you're right. Renting is limiting you
yeah.
in that aspect.
Yeah. Well, and like you said at the beginning of the episode, it's really about the season. Like you
absolutely.
Said, you know, there's points where renting just does make sense.
It does. 100%.
Usually in a shorter period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something that renting for, you know, 30 years makes sense if that's something that you can't, you know, maybe there is an option for you to find a home and
sure.
just getting information
mm-hmm.
would help. But, you know, I think that what, like you said, having some of that understanding it's not a competition between mortgage, you know, owning and versus renting. But you brought up a great point and you mentioned equity.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I think about how we can grow our wealth,
mm-hmm.
equity is a huge way of doing that. Could you tell us maybe for listeners to understand a little bit more about what equity does and how that really can leverage you in other financial places?
Absolutely. At its base, equity is when you take what your home or an asset, but in this case, your home is worth, and you subtract anything you owe. So if I'm using very simple numbers, if I have a home that's worth $400,000,
sure.
But I only have a mortgage that's worth $200,000,
mm-hmm.
the difference between that is $200,000 that eventually I would be able to realize as almost like a profit.
Sure.
So when I sell the home, that would be money that comes into my pocket that I can then invest later on.
Yeah.
You can tap into that equity early in the form of either a cash out refinance or
yeah.
a home equity line of credit. A lot of times that's used to upgrade the home, which then helps increase the value,
sure.
which then gives you more equity. So it's, again, it's kind of an unrealized gain. It's an unrealized profit. But when you pay down your loan,
yeah.
that equity increases. So when we talk about the renting, what, you know, your rent goes to help their equity.
Sure.
But when you are in your own home, the equity is built two ways, by appreciation or when the home value increases, you're seeing that gap between what you owe and the value rise.
Sure, sure.
Or when you make your payments and the amount that goes onto the principal, you're decreasing your loan amount. So you're building equity that way.
For sure.
Owning a home also can be looked at as an investment
for sure,
or a very fancy, comfortable savings account.
Sure.
Because when you go to sell that home, you know, you're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars that will be provided to you at that time.
Yeah.
And that's why home ownership in the United States is the biggest generator of generational wealth.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about somebody's financial future long term, and you're talking about investment accounts and 401ks and IRAs, but your home is also a big piece of that puzzle for your financial safety in the future. And there's a ton of other benefits that we'll get into that aren't financial, but that is a big piece.
Yeah.
And so that equity is part of your savings plan for, could be retirement if something were to happen, but it helps to provide that security where renting, again, it's more of a, you know, transaction.
It's more of that you're paying for a service.
You're paying for a service, right? Exactly. You're paying for the opportunity to have a place to live.
Yeah.
You're not building anything financially for your future.
For sure. And again, like you were saying too, I mean, a lot of times there could be a lot of different situations. Just figuring out, you know, I think about college students. You know, my daughter, she's graduating high school and she'll be going off to college. And, you know, you think about, okay, you know, it probably doesn't make sense to her for her to buy a house by college, right? Maybe it is, you know, but renting might be the option for a little while, or on you know, on school property or whatever.
Absolutely.
But with that still, that's... there's the decision as to, okay, maybe I'm not ready to live here. Maybe I'm going to need to move to another state, and where I need to have the ability to just uproot and go.
I think of when I was 21 graduating from college and I was not in any position to start buying a house. Now, would that be financially great? Sure. You're building that equity. And if people are able to do it, that's fantastic. I wasn't near mature enough.
Same.
You know, and it is, you know, where do you want to live? Where do you want to work? What's your job? You know, again, you could be starting your own business and you need to have something that you can count on every month. That's, you know, you need to live with a few people to cut down the cost of living so you can build your business.
Yeah.
Or, you know, do you want to live downtown Detroit so you can have a 5-minute Uber to a Tigers game? And, you know, buying it doesn't really make sense. So it,
that's true.
You know, getting some of those, like, I think getting life experience, you know, it should not be discounted when you're looking to buy a house, because again, if you're in that kind of career building mode,
sure.
If you have to, at the drop of a hat, you know, maybe relocate, or a better opportunity is a couple hours away. Again, getting rid of a house is a lot harder to do than getting rid of a lease. So
that's true.
I really think of it as, you know, where are you looking to build your roots, right?
Yeah.
You know, life happens. We can't predict the future, but if you have some pretty certain, like, this is where I'm going to build my life, I think that's kind of your first inkling of, like, I should probably start to look at that.
For sure. For sure. And you know, it's funny. So my story similarly to that is, you know, my wife and I, we bought our home, our first home back in 08.
Yeah.
We lived there for, you know, a solid almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we started to do life in a different city. We were, you know, finding ourselves traveling 30 minutes to another city. But, you know, after 10 years of having roots where we were, it was time to make a bit of a neighborhood switch, if you will.
Sure.
And so we found a home that way. But the whole process to sell and to buy, you know, it really kind of can ebb and flow as far as how easy or how difficult that can be.
It is a process. It's not, hey, I'm going to get out of my lease a little bit early. Here's a couple $1,000.
Right.
And Bob's your uncle and you're right. You're good to go. It is a process with a lot of additional costs and realtors and closing documents. And it's a whole thing. So
it is.
You know, again, there's going to be times to move.
Right.
There's going to be times to upgrade or times to downgrade. And so that should never dissuade you from buying, but just understanding that the flexibility that renting can give you.
Oh, yeah.
There's something to be said for it.
For sure. For sure. Well, and I, again, with the equity side of things too, and building up, you know, essentially, like, one of the things that happened to me not that long ago was the current home that we are in now, the area has evolved and properties have gone up in price. Mm-hmm. And so what we bought our house for, not doing anything to it, went up an extra $100,000 in evaluation. So, you know, I think for listeners to understand that what that really gives you is a lot more flexibility. Like you were saying, Jake, we've got the home equity line of credit. We've got episodes that talk a little bit about what those are and really tapping into your home's equity instead of getting a credit card. You can use what you already have as your own little, credit card, mm-hmm. your credit.
Right. The equity you have is a fantastic tool that can help you in a multitude of different financial situations.
For sure.
So, that again is just one more thing you have in the back of your pocket to help you out. Depending on what life throws at you.
For sure. Well, okay, so we were talking earlier about misconceptions. Mm-hmm. And, I think one that continues to come up over and over and over is that I need 20% down to buy a house.
Right.
And I can't even describe how often I hear it. Mm-hmm. And it's believed as to be fact. And even when we've tried to debunk that in some of our stuff. But, Jake, can you... Maybe it just has to come from you.
Yes.
You let the audience know.
I'm going to set the record straight today. You do not need 20% down to buy a house.
Thank you.
You don't need it. You don't have to do it. Okay? Yes.
There are other ways.
Yes.
So
mortgages, blow this up on Instagram, on TikTok. You don't need 20% to buy the house.
Ugh.
I mean, you can get into a house for as little as nothing.
Yeah.
That's 3%, 3.5%. Now, again, what we tell people is you want to make sure the payment is something that you can afford.
Exactly.
And with how high rents are, a lot of people can afford a housing payment that would come with a lower down payment, because the down payment a lot of times is the biggest hurdle.
That's true.
Because if you've been renting, you would be able to save a tremendous amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
You're putting down $1,500, $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
What that down payment would be substantial. So it's not that people don't have the ability to save. It's that their savings are being eaten up by renting.
Right.
So what we've tried to do at LMCU is provide programs and opportunities for people to get into homes who, again, maybe you've been a great renter. You haven't, you've never been late, never been 15, 30 days late. You're on time, on the money. You've got other things going on. But again, just your savings has been dampened by the fact that you've been paying that rent.
Yeah.
And so we have, again, some really good programs that, again, as little as zero down, 3%, that you can afford that payment. You just need help with the costs to get in the home.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm really proud of here at LMCU, is we've recognized that need and we've put a lot of work in over the past couple of years to make that more accessible for people.
Absolutely. Well, and beyond that, what I'm impressed by LMCU with as well when it comes to our mortgages is truly just the way that we show up for different individuals. And,
absolutely.
Whether there's doctors mm-hmm. and there are medical, and there's this, we want to meet people where they're at.
Absolutely.
When it comes to this. And we know that it's important to do that. So there's a lot more options here at LMCU that we try to make sure we're working to make sure it's affordable for you, that you're not house broke. Right?
Absolutely. There's typically not a borrower that we don't have a solution for. Like you said, whether it be that high net worth earner or somebody, a first time home buyer, or somebody who may need some assistance, we have the programs, the know-how, and the want to help them get into their home.
Jake, you mentioned a little earlier too, and that we are in, LMCU is in two different states. We're in Michigan and also in Florida.
Yep.
I've always wondered, are there some unique considerations that maybe listeners could in Michigan or Florida would need to understand as to just maybe the differences between the states?
Sure, absolutely. So I think you've seen a tremendous amount of people kind of migrating to Florida probably since COVID. If I'm going to be stuck in my house, I may as well enjoy the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what you've seen, as an anecdote, from what I see is just the amount, how busy Florida is.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to move there, you're going to have to be okay with some traffic. You're going to have to be, a little bit condensed living spaces.
Yeah.
A lot of people are there. A lot of it is insurance because of the weather and some of the activity that happens there.
Gets bad weather?
Yeah. I've heard once or twice there's been a hurricane or storm or something.
Right?
So you have to kind of batten down the hatches.
Right.
So I think that's a big, are you comfortable with living in an area that you may have to evacuate every once in a while.
Sure.
You have to kind of, again, batten down those hatches and have your hurricane gutters or hurricane windows ready to go. But also understanding that insurance is probably going to be a little bit more difficult and a little bit more expensive than you're used to. In Michigan, the policies are not as drastic. You're going to have to maybe look at flood insurance is another one.
Yeah.
Whenever we go down to Florida, it's like, why aren't we living here?
Right. Same.
You know, yeah. And then, you know, and then you see a crocodile or an alligator. And you're like, okay, you know what? Maybe the snow's not so bad.
That's a really big lizard over there.
But those are the big things is, again, is understanding where you'd be moving or understanding the city or the town that you'd be living in. And are you comfortable with that flow of traffic, how dense the population is, how busy it can be, tourists coming in? And then also, again, those additional not just your mortgage payment, but those other costs that are associated with living in a more tropical-esque, you know, as tropical as, as the United States can be.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because it's a fair point. You know, with the added risk of weather concerns, the insurance companies will be charging a higher premium because there's a higher risk for them as well. And that's just, that's not bad business. That's normal, normal
again,
good business. Right?
Like we talked about, it's what works best for you, your family, and what you're willing to deal with. No, so again, there's not a bad or good place to live. It's just what works best for you.
Yeah. So, you know, as we're kind of getting close to wrapping up here, you know, what are some things that you usually help to guide, you know, those that are coming to look for getting a mortgage, just to kind of help guide them in making what's the best decision for them when it comes to a mortgage?
Absolutely. I think for me, the biggest thing that I say is we want home ownership to be a blessing and not a burden. So that's kind of where I frame a lot of my conversations is how can we make this a positive thing in your life?
Yeah.
So somebody may have $20,000 in the bank, but it's going to cost $19,000 for them to get into that home.
No kidding.
Is that the best time or should we pad the bank account a little bit? So you're not sitting in an empty house eating, you know, ramen noodles off of your inflatable couch.
Right.
Or you can't go out to eat with your friends because you're like, well, you know, I got to make my mortgage payment this month.
Right.
So for me, it's really, again, it's looking at as best as we can look at the full picture and having people understand, I think for me is what you qualify for and what you can afford are going to be two different things. The mortgage qualification process, which again, could be a whole nother podcast for you. Not as exciting as this one. But, you know, we again, very simply, you qualify people off of their gross income. And we also only see what's on your credit report.
Sure.
So you could have other expenses that are really important to your life or things you're not willing to give up. And we're also qualifying you off of not the money that hits your bank account. So for me, it's really understanding is, yes, you qualify for this, but is this going to be the best for you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's look at that payment. Let's look at it, how it looks with the rest of your life to see if that's something that's really manageable.
Yeah.
So for me, again, what we've talked about in this podcast is it's an extremely personal decision and it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
Your parents buying when they were 22, you know what? That might've been great for them and where the economy was and their personal lives. But for you, if you have to buy when you're 30, but that's when it's best for you, that's okay.
It. Exactly.
And so for me, it's, you know, a story that I tell, when I work with a pre-approval is when my wife and I bought our first home, we knew it needed a new roof.
Sure.
We knew it needed a new roof. There were shingles flying off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to pick them up before the appraisal got that there.
Right.
You know, so we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So we had budgeted for it. But we got in to the house and we were making dinner for one or first night or so, and then we can smell gas.
Oh, wow.
So clearly our oven, you know, our range, there was something wrong. So you can't always account for things that are going to happen.
That's good.
So it is good to be prepared and have that little nest egg because we were able to go buy a new oven and we were fine. But again, we talk about that scenario. If you're putting all your eggs in the basket to get into the house, you're not setting yourself up for success.
No. Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because for those that have been listening now for a while, you know, our past few episodes, we've really been hitting on being just financially mindful and really thinking about our financial budgets and how really crucial it is. Like that's kind of that first establishing point of get a budget together, know what is going out and what's coming in, and to have a really good kind of overview of your expenses. So then you can really start to establish, like you said, a game plan. And you might find out that, man, we could afford to buy this house now. We just didn't realize it until we looked at all of our funds. But along with that, you've also got the budgeting side of understanding emergency fund.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, the unexpected, mm-hmm. you know, range that goes bad or yeah. windows that need to be fixed
And I would say, I mean, it's never too early to talk to a loan officer. Again, you may not be ready to buy for 5 years, but the piece of the puzzle that's missing is what that payment may look like.
Yeah.
And that will help you shape those further decisions so you can get into home ownership.
Definitely.
Again, we've talked a lot about the renting piece, but I really do want to stress that, you know, home ownership is a fantastic tool.
Yeah.
It is, again, an awesome thing. Even it's, again, helps build that generational wealth. You took it that when you look at the net worth of homeowners versus non-homeowners, it is a stark contrast.
Yeah.
And even things that aren't financial, right? You know, kids do better in school.
For sure.
They feel, you know, less anxiety, less depression. They feel more comfortable. So there's also those, you know, emotional benefits of owning a home.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, we talked about it's just a very personal decision, but make no mistake, home ownership is a fantastic thing.
Absolutely.
That has a lot of benefits, but that's why we're here at LMCU is to make sure that it's a benefit.
Yeah.
And make sure that you are comfortable going into that home ownership, proud, confident that it was the right decision and that you're not going to have buyer's remorse. So you're not going to, you know, a year from now, you're not going to be in a position that you have to give that home up. And that's really what we're here for.
No kidding. So, you know, when we were talking a little bit about how there are a lot of programs that LMCU mm-hmm. offers,
yeah.
you know, there's also a big side of we want to help meet people where they're at.
Absolutely.
And we understand where, you know, there are, it's tough right now financially out
it
there.
It is.
And so there are some really cool programs that LMCU offers.
Mm-hmm.
One in particular I know that's called our LMCU Home Assist Program. I'd love for you to share a little bit about what that program is designed to kind of help do for those members that may not think homeownership is even possible for them.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to. Our LMCU, our Home Assist Grant, well, or qualified buyers for that program could receive up to $15,000 to go towards their down payment closing costs. And that is a true grant. There are some other programs that could be a lien on your property or you have to pay back. But this is no strings attached. This is money for you to help aid your journey in home ownership.
Yeah.
So it is something that we have been really committed to is helping those buyers we talked about that are renting and just can't get out from that cycle.
Right.
And so this will provide them that boost they need, that lift they need to get into home ownership because they're ready.
Yeah.
They can afford it.
Yeah.
But it's that down payment that's the big hurdle. So that's what we've really committed to is providing those buyers the opportunity mm-hmm. to make that transition to a homeowner so they can reap all those benefits that we talked about.
For sure. And you know, I shared on this podcast, it's been a while now, but I have a good friend of mine who almost 25 years was renting
mm-hmm.
and she had her son and it was just the two of them. And that's all that they,
yeah.
you know, could afford or mm-hmm. what she at least believed.
Yeah.
that she could afford. And I remember there was a point of vulnerability where she was out with us and just mentioned, hey, you know, I think I really want to buy a house.
Yeah.
I think it's time for, you know, me and my son to be able to have roots. And this is where we
yeah.
live. And so I said, hey, go into an LMCU,
mm-hmm.
just talk to our team and let them sit down and at least go over a budget with you and
yeah.
see where you're at. Because, you know, unfortunately, she had heard no from everywhere mm. else because her credit score wasn't great.
Yeah.
And it still needed, you know, some work.
Yeah.
But it wasn't unachievable for
right.
her. And yeah. so within like 6 to 8 months, they sat down, did a budget. And within 6 to 8 months, she was able to finally put
awesome.
A small down payment, didn't have to be
20%.
And she was able to get a home for her and her son. And for the first time in her life,
yeah.
you know, at almost 50 years old, she was finally able to buy her first home for her and her son to have roots, to be able to have, like you said, that stability, right?
And that's what makes the job worth it, right?
Right.
I love hearing those stories because that's at our core is what we do.
That
is taking that person who doesn't think that they can be a homeowner and finding a solution. I mean, we're like detectives in a way.
Right.
And we're putting those puzzle pieces together. And it's not a one size fits all
that's
mortgage
right.
solution. And that's what a good LMCU loan officer is going to do is they're not going to give you one option. They're going to say, we have three different options here, the pros and cons of each of them, and here's how it can benefit you and help you make that sound decision.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, one other thing, too, I wanted to bring up when thinking about, you know, in I guess for listeners, as you're learning about different programs, there's also a flip side to this coin where there's a lot of misinformation.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of seems too good to be true information out there around mortgages and rates and different special programs and things like that. That I also, you know, we just had a podcast on fraud last month. And I'll tell you, it's eye opening to hear, you know, we had Josh from our fraud department telling us just about the new tactics for fraud that is starting to come out there. But there's just a lot of misinformation.
Absolutely.
And so I would love to, you know, how can listeners who are kind of exploring the potential of home ownership, how do they kind of maybe look through some of the noise, if you will?
I think the best way to look through the noise is to sit down with somebody.
Yeah.
And talk to a person. There's a lot of articles. There's a lot of information. There's AI.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conflicting information. I think that's one of the things that's frustrating about buying a mortgage is, one website says I need this. I asked ChatGPT and it said this, but then my grandpa told me this. And so So for me is sit down and talk with somebody, talk to a professional, talk to somebody who's been doing this a long time who can give you the industry knowledge that you need to make your decision.
Yeah.
And again, it's never too early to do that.
For sure.
You know, you may feel like, well, I don't want to buy for another year. So I don't really think. No, take that appointment. Make that appointment. It's super easy. It could be 30 minutes. And you can leave, again, with the start of that plan to get you on that journey. So my biggest thing is it is well worth 30 to 45 minutes of your time to sit down with the loan officer.
Yeah.
Even if you don't pull the trigger on anything, even if you don't get your credit pulled,
you're
just starting to ask some of those questions.
For sure.
And that's exactly why we're here.
It is. And we're not pushy. Like, that's the one thing I always hear from members is just coming in to get information. It's not a sales moment. We just want to learn from you as to what you are looking to accomplish so we can come kind of wrap around you on that, you know?
And that's the culture that I think we've built here at LMCU that's benefited our members is taking that education first approach and just understanding that, again, we're here to meet the needs of our members and whether that's today, 30 days from now, 10 years from now, but giving them the tools and the information they need to help them make those decisions is we're not looking to sell you a mortgage today.
Yeah.
Because if you're not ready for it, then I don't know anybody who can sleep at night, who can do
right,
that. So that's really, again, every loan officer that I know is going from that education standpoint and helping you make that decision.
That's amazing. That's great. All right. So Jake, I'm a renter.
Okay.
What are the top three things I need to be thinking about if I am considering wanting to buy a house in, say, 12 months from now?
So I think the first thing you need to do is understand the payment you can afford for housing, what that number is on a month-to-month basis that you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
And then working with a loan officer to help translate that into a purchase price.
Yeah.
And so that you can understand what is the type of home I can buy with the type of mortgage payment I can afford. And then you can transition to, again, how much of a down payment do I need?
Yeah.
Or what do I need to make that payment a reality based off of the purchase price that I want? So there's a couple different ways you can go about it, but that's the first one. And then also understanding how do my other expenses round out my financial lifestyle and how does buying a house enter into that?
Yeah.
And so then I would say the third thing is talking with an LMCU loan officer to understand what your down payment options are and what opportunities they are to maybe get some assistance.
Love that. Love that. Well, I'll tell you, Jake, there is so much that you and your team are doing, and it's just a fraction of what LMCU is doing as a whole,
because
you are a part of a team of how many other?
Over 100 loan officers here at LMCU.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. And so we are here for all of your needs, whether here in Michigan or in Florida. So Jake, again, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you to your team.
Thanks for having me. This
absolutely. Absolutely. We'll have you on and tell us a little bit more about about what's going on.
Perfect.
And maybe we'll talk about the whole, you know, approval process.
Absolutely. Yeah. Super fun topic. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, again, thanks so much for everyone tuning in. We'll see you on the next one.
All right.